This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today. So this podcast will be about the importance of place. Is there meaning about place, or where does God lead us in our businesses? Where are we placed? We think it has importance, and here we are together. Bill Job is with us again. Hello, Bill. It's good to see you.
Hi, Gay. It's great to see you too.
So we decided to explore about place. Where does God place us? I mean, in our theology, or it's not in the Western Protestant world so much. There's not much emphasis on it. But you think so. Why?
Well, Gaia, I think I started a lot of this journey, particularly my session in China, without an awareness of places and being important in Scripture. And that's primarily because I, at that time, had really a church-based theology. And the only real place in my theological grid was the church building itself. We had somewhat supplanted the idea of church being a group of people with it being a building. And so that's what we tended to focus on. And so I didn't have any kingdom theology formed very well, but in the kingdom theology, a place is easily discovered and recognized. So over the years that we were in China, we realized the city that we were assigned to was really an important city. There was actual significance to us being sent to that city. And then we found what we call like thin places or open heaven places, where if you went to that physical space, you actually had an easier time sensing the presence of God in prayer, and all the associated things just were a lot easier to do there. And then we realized that our company was actually relocated several times that was close to real places of darkness in the city. And again, I didn't have that grid to understand what he was doing. And it was really interesting to look back. Actually, in my office where I am right now, I have a huge map covering the wall with indications of all of the places that the Lord sent us to. And you'll often see that this was really next to a very dark place. And he was trying to introduce me to that idea. Even the building that we were located in, he would indicate, I want you to go to the top of the building and to pray up there. And so we got very specific instruction. It had to do with the physical world that we were living in. But I had to try to build a category of my theology to accept this as we were going through it. Now, I do want to say that our audience is in a treat today, in for a treat, because Gaia actually had written a book dealing with some of these same issues. And so I do want to draw her into this conversation with the discoveries that she's made. There you go, Gaia. That's a good intro.
Yes, you're throwing the ball back at me. Thank you, Bill. Well, I didn't have a particular theology of place because I grew up on a river ship. So we went from one place to the other, and then we moved to Mercy ships, my husband and I, and here again. And of course, when we went to places, we prayed about, but I didn't have a particular idea or specific call to one place. Here we were on the ship, moving all the time. But then we felt called to Rotterdam in the Netherlands, the harbor city. And actually, my desire was more to go to Amsterdam. I think that was I still love going to that city.
But here we were called to Rotterdam. And, you know, we heard, hey, this is a significant place. It's like a gateway to Europe. And, you know, big harbor, import, export. And we from the beginning felt to embrace also the place we were in, even though at that time, 40 years ago now, it was kind of a boring place. Nowadays, there is a lot of new building and there's a vibe to the city, but not at that time. But we really, you know, even though I wasn't naturally attracted to this place, we did go up the highest tower, the Euromast, with our kids at that time. The eldest was, I think, 12 and the youngest 7. And, you know, we were in a circle praying and said, God, we want to embrace the place you have sent us to. And we want to love and see it from your eyes, because, you know, we had some co-workers and they were kind of complaining, oh, you know, when you're in the metro, there are all these grim faces. But yeah, we felt challenged to look at the city and look at the people and say, God, how do you look at this place? And then later, you know, we were living around 30 years in the city and I became very active. We had a prayer meeting weekly for 7 years where we invited every week someone to share, inform us about an aspect in the city. It could be a young person, a pastor, a business person, a politician, and, you know, to share, and then so we could pray informed. So yeah, I really love the city now, even though I still love Amsterdam. So I think loving and getting to know the place, I mean, that's in relationships too, right? You can meet somebody and you might be attracted or not attracted, but then you get to know that person and your love grows. Yeah, and then I studied with Bucky Graduate University, and there Ray Bucky, who was kind of my mentor on urban mission, he had such a theology of place. So yeah, that's my journey. So in a way similar, I think God's bringing us to a place and then we're learning about the importance.
For our audience sake, Gail, let me ask, how do you develop a love for a city? What do you do, or how does that work, or how do you get to know the history of a city? What elements of the history seem to be important?
Well, the history, indeed, you know, what are the historical aspects of a place? You know, in the case of the city, the bombing of the city. So we did have from Berlin a group of pastors come, you know, to have forgiveness and exchange. So history, but also there are a lot of practical things you can do to learn about the city. I mean, I personally, I was led to work at a production company making TV programs for the local city. And it was about actually historical material. So all these details make the city come alive. And I learned from Ray Bucky, who lived in Chicago, and he went to the local pub. He went and met with the local policeman. And as business people, we can do the same. You know, what are the needs? Actually, that's one of my desires. And I think to see that happen in the Netherlands, in the Western world, that there will be business people next to pastors feeling a call for their area and joining hands and hearts to develop this vision for a region and embrace a region, as we see happening globally with businesses' mission that in countries, BAM networks are developing. So, yeah, I think it's something that God is calling us to and saying, hey, come on, you have an assignment here. and I called you to a place, so embrace it.
That began to make a lot more sense to me when I just remembered this simple scriptural idea that I've been transferred from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And so it gave me a grid work of thinking of kingdoms and place. So I realized that that was not just a nebulous idea, but it was actually inviting me to investigate the kingdom itself, the realm of location and who was where and who was what. On one of my early endeavors, we were instructed by the Lord to move the company that we had, a small company of 20 people, to a really unrealistic location and grow to 150 people in 6 weeks. And everybody said it was a bad idea. But I looked at the map later on and I go, well, that was the oldest temple in the city that was right next door to us. And I began to ask the question, I wonder if something was going on relative to the history of the city and the history of the spiritual battle over the city. So as soon as we begin to realize that these two kingdoms have been battling for a very long time, and I'll probably never get into a position in the world where they're not still battling around me. And so that's when I realized I can have an assignment. And that's what that was, in fact, was to present ourselves before a place where the enemy had a stronghold, had fixed itself and really had influence. And we begin to weaken the influence of this of the enemy over a physical location just by our presence there. Of course, it helps a lot if we abide. It goes a lot better when we do that part.
You shared that story before, that you were called to this place, which was not a very comfortable place, that actually there was this, well, kind of dark spiritual stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
and people from your company wanted to quit. And yeah, somehow, subconsciously, I think I must confess, I might have that a bit too, that God will call us to this kind of nice places because, of course, you know, he wants the best for us.
And we get to define best, yeah.
You know, you shared that you were kind of complaining.
Right. I didn't think I signed up for this kind of a deal. I thought it was supposed to be nice and easy, and he's on my side, and he's a good person. And what I just missed was the context of we are living in a world at war between two kingdoms, and the battle's still going on, and we have surrendered to one of the kings now, and he has every right to give us an assignment that would support his continuing fight over the enemy. And we don't get to complain about that. That's what we really signed up for once we understand who we are and where we are.
Let's share a little bit more about that story, Bill. I mean, you felt to move to this place, people discouraged you. Come on, don't do that. That's a bad choice. But you strongly felt, no, God is really calling me to this particular building. So what happened?
Well, I did have to go back to the Lord probably 3 or 4 times for confirmation because of all of the advice to not do it. And, you know, the Christians will say, oh, there's a lot of wisdom and a multitude of counselors. And that's true. But we have to submit to the King of the kingdom above all else. And if he wants to do something that seems to be unwise to common sense, then I think he feels like he should have the right to do that. And so in that case, my responsibility was to be very clear on the message that I'm hearing from him. And so I wasn't trying to fight against the good advice to not go. I felt like it was also good advice. I didn't want to go. But when I kept hearing, no, make this move. I want you there. So I said, okay, I'm going to go with you, Lord, even though everybody else says it's a bad idea. And so in making the move, it was not comfortable or easy. Like it was the place where we first started using containers to ship with, and we couldn't get a container to the factory because there are too many low-hanging telephone lines and electrical wires and stuff. And so we had to have this parade of people lifting, you know, the wires up so the truck can get through. It was just very, very awkward. The building itself split where there was an expansion joint. It was a long 2-story thin building. And when it split, it was a 6-inch gap up in the ceiling, and you could see the stars at night. And when it would rain, it would flood the building. And you couldn't clean the building because it didn't have enough true cement in the floor. And it just kept dusting up. You just swept and swept and swept. It all just was coming off in dust. And then we found out that the guy I signed the contract with was executed for corruption. And I knew that there was nothing that looked right about this until I was asked to hire someone who had become a Christian out of the Buddhist temple. And so we interviewed at night, and he accepted the job, and we were welcoming of him. He needed a place to kind of get out from that environment. And there was some concern for his life if he didn't have a safe place to work that where he could kind of escape to. But in the next morning, he came to work and he saw the temple that was only, what, maybe 20 yards away. And he said, I can't do this because there's too much spiritual power. And that's what I'm trying to escape from. It was too close. And that was what opened up the category of my thinking of, what is he talking about? It's, you know, it's just a building. And to him, it wasn't just a building. And I began to realize he had a better view of what was actually going on than I did. And I needed to adjust my understanding to accept the world to which he was speaking about some reality that I was yet uninitiated in. And that's when I began to realize, okay, so we need to understand that temples are not neutral places. They're places where spirits are invited to come. And this was the first temple built on the island, most likely. And so the strong man over the city, which is the ruling demonic spirit, most likely settled there as his home to begin with. And the Lord wanted to go head to head against the strong man, or I may not be saying this exactly right. I could modify my theology afterwards, but there is a battle, and this is the main opponent, most likely had roots there. And so he's trying to put us right next to where the enemy was. On another occasion, there was the greatest case of corruption in Chinese history, according to some Hong Kong newspapers. And the headquarters of that was just about a half a mile away from my factory. And I began to see, even at that point, he was putting us in relatively close proximity to what was happening in a demonic realm, the ruling over the city, trying to lay claim to the city. And he wanted us to learn how to fight back.
So it could be very well to our listeners that they might want to do some research. What's around here?
Exactly. To your point, get to know your city.
Yes. But then there's also what you call, in the Celtic spirituality, thin places. In Celtic spirituality, I studied, you know, from the 6th till the 12th century, you know, there's this Celtic renewal who kind of re-christened Europe. And, you know, it's like the fringes of Scotland and the UK and Ireland, where they weren't not under the rule of the Catholic Church. And there was this really, amazing Christians of doing amazing things in prayer and just amazing stories. So, you know, here they talk about thin places of my husband and I, we biked across the UK to Iona. Iona is a place, this little island where there used to be a monastery. And I actually went there for the first time with my study. And I was at that time like, well, you know, I'm not sure about this. And people were saying, actually, you know, you should also go with expectations. I didn't go with expectation, but I very strongly remember being on this crossroads, and I myself felt on a crossroads at that time for various reasons. And it was just a girl, a tour guide explaining some things, but I felt the presence. I felt the presence of God so strongly. And so, that was a real experience of a thin place. And I think you also had a thin place, right, in the place you were at. I actually, our listeners can't see that, but I see Bill on screen, and in his office, he has the stairway, and I think that's the stairway going up to your thin place, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Gay. I forgot about that being behind my head in my room. But yes, so it was the second highest point on this island, and there was a rock stairwell up to it. And I'd heard that missionaries used to go and pray up there. And so I thought, I'll go up there one day. And the experience of getting there is, like you say, this is something different is beginning to happen. And I used to think that I went up there to pray, but if I'm really honest with you, I would just spend more time weeping than praying. And it was this weird experience where I just felt more of his love for the city and the sadness of it not being connected to people, that there was this thing that he had done, giving his life for the lives of everyone there, and that my ancestors had done quite a lot to confuse the issue by pushing opium into that city for several hundred years, just damaging the people that God loved. And when I got to that place, I felt some of the sadness of what was associated with all of that. But it wasn't a hopeless sadness. It was just this interesting mix of emotions of how wonderful he is, how much he loves them, how they have yet to understand how much he loves them and what he's done for them, and his love for the city as a whole. And so I feel like there's a category of us sharing his sadness and sharing tears over the things that he shares tears over. And I've read someplace where there's a collection of those tears. And when it gets to a certain tipping point, something happens. And I hope that we're experiencing something like that. But it was a wonderful experience, even though weeping was associated with it. It wasn't hopeless. It was hopeful and kind of a precious privilege of an experience.
So do you have a thin place in Knoxville where you presently live, Bill?
I do have one. I haven't been going there as often as I would like. I asked him for where would be a place here in my hometown, and I got a square mile on a map, an image of a location on a map that was probably 10 miles from where I am. And I kept asking for more clarity. And then one friend of mine who bought that property, a property in that area, he said, hey, I want you to come and meet me out at my place. There's a barn that I would like for you to see. And so as soon as he gave me the directions, I knew it was right in that zone that I'd sensed there was something there. And the barn has been developed into a place of prayer, and up in the second, like the loft area, it's all been fitted out. So there's lights and music, and a group meets there now every Wednesday night. And they think it was on the Underground Railroad where they were helping slaves escape the South and get to the North. And I felt like the Lord said one day there will be an inscription that somebody discovers on one of the old wooden beams that indicates that was true. So that's the best I have right now.
Well, actually, I have a nice place just 5 minutes walk from my, there is this farm, the Terphuis, and there is a prayer room there up. And we meet every month with a group of business people and have communion there. But yeah, I think both the communion of listening, we are quiet like for at least 15 minutes. And it's, I think it's the combination of being together. It's a small group. We already for years really share openly our hearts and our struggles and our victories. So I think the combination of the fellowship, but also the place, it's a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say to encourage listeners to be aware of where are these thin places? I hear you ask the Lord about it?
Sure. You can always ask the Lord because he's happy to reveal that kind of information to you. It really benefits him and his kingdom work when we're lined up with him better. But because we are a BAM podcast right now, I'd like to turn our audience's direction to the physical buildings that they may be operating companies out of. And one of the surprising things that the Lord had me do was to take a Chinese Bible on another piece, this another property that we moved to, and take the Gospels and roll them up into a water pipe that's about 2 feet long and bend the ends over and basically drive the four Gospels into the four corners of the property. I was embarrassed because that was weird stuff, you know. Honestly, Gail, I don't know what I would think about somebody who did that. And so I went in on a Saturday morning when nobody was there to try to secretly, you know, obey the Lord. But it helped introduce the concept that I had authority over that physical space and that the Lord, my role is to bring the kingdom's influence there. I think this is true over any business owner, especially, that if he has a building, physical space, that he has authority to bring the influence of the kingdom in that area. And you can even, I think, get it to approach a thin place. Like we always had, not always, but in that building, we had a worship room that we built, carpeted. And when you went into that room, you got very close to being in a thin place because there were so many hours of worship that occurred there. I think it brings about an influence. On one occasion, I had a friend who they could see the angelic realm. They could see angels. I can't do that. But they went in and said, Billy, do you have any idea how many angels are in this room? And I go, no, I got no idea. No, it's full. So you must do a lot of worshiping here. And that's when I started connecting that worship is a place that kind of welcomes angels. They love being in a location. And I can dedicate some space in the building that we have to attracting angels. And that can influence the whole environment of the building.
I'm reminded of the story of the city monastery, Stadsklooster in Dordrecht, and talking with, actually, he is a teammate in the BAM movement here in the Netherlands, Erwin Witses. They did exactly, well, not exactly, not the four, but they did put a Bible somewhere in the building. And this is a hotel, hostel, restaurant, and they also have a chapel there. And yeah, that is indeed a thin place too. It's just a wonderful place to be in that space where it's dedicated to worship. And so there are things we can indeed do to embrace the exact location God gives us, but to also be aware of, hey, what is around us? In what setting did God put us in? And do we love that setting? And how can we get to know the city or the region? What are maybe some temples? I mean, in the Netherlands, I'm not aware of, you know, in the Western context, we are not so aware, but still to maybe invite people who have more insight into what the enemy is doing or in this, either see angels or I don't see them either, Bill. I like to, but I think that's what we want to convey through this podcast, don't we?
Sure. I think you're right, Gail. Just if our listeners have an interest in this, just ask the Lord to disciple them in this area of their relationship to buildings, to the land, to cities, and just be available to learn something from the Lord regarding why he has you where you are.
Well, it was good to talk with you again and exchange, and I never get bored, Bill, with talking with you. Thank you for your insights. And this is a theme I was very involved in and actually am still, of course, even though I don't live in Rotterdam, I can almost see the city. We live now in this small village. And actually, while talking with you, I'm like, we didn't move here too long ago. I'm reminded, maybe I should get more serious in my village, We did do some prayer walking in the village, but we could do a bit more. So I'm challenged myself.
Well, before we end, though, I want to give our audience a chance to get a hold of your book. How can they find your book?
I did write a book. It's called God in the City, A Missional Way of Life in an Urban Context. And it talks about how do we view the city? What is our theology of place? What is our theology of work? And yeah, it's on Amazon and Gaia Court, and it's not in printed, but it's how we call it, ebook. And it was part of my dissertation. It was the media part of my dissertation, and with lots of stories also, how people were engaging in the city and how they worked in the city. There was one chapter on Business's Mission. This was before I got involved with Business's Mission. So thank you for your marketing this book.
Well, once again, Dr. Gort, we have really enjoyed the time with you.
Yeah, let's use my title. Well, thank you, Bill. Till next time.
Thank you, Gaia. You too. Bye-bye.
This was Gaia Gort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bemoves.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for Business, Life and Work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.